You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices. And I've got the big marketer himself, Fred Joyle, who created 1-800-DENTIST. And you are not going to want to miss this because he's going to share some awesome information about the five reasons most dental marketing fails. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button, and we'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. And if you're into marketing, this is the man to talk to, because I honestly think he knows more about marketing than anybody in all of this industry, Fred Joyle. Now, a couple of show notes before we get started. Now, we are shooting this live on Facebook right now. So as you have questions, please enter them in on the side and I will ask Fred as we're getting into this, because I want to hear from him himself on some of these controversial topics. Now, Fred, I'm going to introduce you because you and I have known each other for a while now. And I'm going to say this. There are two books you have to read if you're a dentist. It is required. You have to read Fred's book. And it's Everything is Marketing. And it is one of the best books ever written in marketing. And the second one is Peter Dawson's Restorable Dentistry book. Those are required. When you graduate as a dentist, you have to have those two books read. And it is mind-blowing. Like, you'll turn every page and go, that is so good. That is so good. And it's not fluff. It is rock solid information. Fred has also written a second book, which we're going to talk about in a second, which I have not read. And he's going to give you an opportunity to get it at a discounted price, calling Being Remarkable. And his stuff is always good. But let me just say this, like, you are crazy controversial, which I love. When you created 1-800-DENTIST, people came up to you and they actually said, look, you're destroying dentistry. And you're like, look, I'm not destroying dentistry. I'm getting people to go to the dentist. And what people don't know about you is you've invested $500 million, with a B, $1 billion, to the general public to get people to go to the dentist. Is that not correct? Is that true?
That's right. That's it. And still, you know, I'm still spending $30 million a year right now.
Wow. And we're going to talk about that point in just a little bit, because the biggest opportunity is people that don't go to the dentist. And we complain about all these little things, but there's such a tremendous opportunity. Now, also, you and I talked about this before we went live. You're an abundance thinker. And I want you to describe what that means, because that sets you apart from most everybody else. What's an abundance thinker?
You know, there's two ways to look at life, you know, from abundance or scarcity. And I believe that there's more than enough opportunity in the world and in our industry. I think we are in, as a side note, I think we're in the most abundant industry in the country. But I think there's tons of opportunity. There's tons of money. There's tons of patients. There's all of this in the world. I think there's more love than we could ever absorb. And there's people who believe the opposite. And what happens is, whichever you believe is true, you will magnetize either positive or negative towards you. And as we talked about, I've spent $500 million in advertising. More dentists who are not my members have benefited from that advertising than my members, because I'm telling the whole country. Go to the dentist. And if you don't have one, call me. That's my essentially message for 30 years. So there's way more people going, I got to go back to my dentist. I've had dentists actually come up to me and thank me, saying, never been a member, but thanks for reminding my patients to come in.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so good at this, describing this concept, and you were the first one that really kind of described it really well. But there's a huge difference between marketing and advertising. I love how you define this. Can you just describe that for a minute? Because we're going to go into marketing here.
Yeah. And a lot of people confuse the two terms, but advertising is using a specific medium, radio, television, the internet, your website, something, a specific medium to tell people who you are, what you do, and why they should want to use your service. Marketing is everything that you do that tells people who you are and what you do and why they should want to use over somebody else. So it's much more subtle in many ways and much broader and much more important. Advertising, and this is the big thing, and the basis of my book is, like, you can do fantastic advertising, but there's so many choke points and filters along the way that can make that advertising not succeed, even though the advertising worked. It generated potential.
Right.
But what happened to that potential along the way is marketing. And you succeed and fail by the marketing, not the advertising.
Right. Now, there's some big mistakes that some marketers make in dentistry, and you've been watching this really closely because you're very well tied into how people are succeeding in marketing. And we talked about there's five big mistakes people make with dental marketing, and it fails. So let's go through that, because you were describing two dentists that you've watched and how this all works. So what are some of the biggest mistakes people make?
Almost all of this comes down to the experience of being a patient, because the number one rule out there is they can't judge your clinical skills. Nobody's on Yelp writing about how your margins suck, okay? They're writing about how your front desk person is mean. They're writing about how you charge too much and you overdiagnose and the office is cold or hot or smells funny, or they don't like the sound of the drill, or the magazines are old, whatever the heck. They're writing about all that stuff on Yelp. So they're assessing the experience of being a patient. Most of their behavior is not driven by pure rationality. Otherwise, they'd be in every 4 months cleaning their teeth and they would have all 28 teeth into their 70s, but they don't.
Yeah.
So forget, you know, a lot of what I talk about in the book is human nature. It's like, we can pretend human nature isn't what it is, but that's at our peril. People are going to behave the way they're going to behave. So right now, the number one chokehold, and in 30 years, the tightest filter on all of advertising is that front desk. What happens in that initial contact in the office? And I know you had Laura Hatch on recently, and she's the master of teaching that stuff. One of the masters. There are people who teach it. But this is a drum that I pound on furiously with both hands, because I've watched me send hundreds of good patients to a dental practice and watch them dispose of them. The toilet is clogged with money, okay, basically, is what they're flushing so much money, they're setting $100 bills on fire at the front desk. And sometimes it's the dentist's fault. He's training them, find out if they got enough money before they come in, you know, and make sure they're going to pay up and do all, like, they overscreen constantly. Yeah. I say to the average dentist, I say, if you could hear recordings of what they say at the front desk, don't listen to them with your belt and shoelaces, because you're just going to hang yourself, right? You're going to you're going to freak out. And it's because it's the most undertrained position and the most important.
Right.
And half the time they don't even answer the phone. Also, or one out of four calls goes to voicemail in a dental practice. And sometimes it's higher than that. I mean, that's not baseline service. The average American now is hanging up after three rings.
Wow. Okay.
And they don't leave voicemail. They don't leave voicemails anymore. They go, like, if I can't figure out how to text these people, I'm moving on. And we could do 4 hours on the front desk. And I tell people that if you're not confident about your front desk, please don't join 1-800-DENTIST, because you're going to fail and you're going to blame me.
Right.
Okay. And it's not just hurting the referrals they get from me. They may be getting one a day or something from me. But what's happening with everybody else?
Right.
But, you know, word of mouth should be their number one source of patients and what's happening. And that also, that reverberates out into the community. You know, people are saying, yeah, it seemed like a nice office, but when I called them, it's like all they could do was probe and probe and probe about how I was going to pay them before I even found out if I wanted to come in.
Wow. Yeah.
And so But to me, the front desk is a very simple job. It's a three-word definition. Get them in.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So 1 in 4 phone calls, if they're even answered, think about that. There's a huge opportunity there. And then you use the word over screen. Just can you describe that? Because that is an awesome phrase. What does that mean?
That means you're trying too hard to find out if they're a fit for the practice. And dentists, I know they get into this. To a degree, you want to understand if they're adamant that they're only going to see somebody who takes their insurance and you don't take it, then you're going to have a problem when you bring them in, okay? Because they don't want to go out of network. This is a big change in consumer behavior now. They don't want to go out of network no matter what. We used to be able to get people to go out of network 10 years ago, most of them, but now they don't want to do it. But overscreening is like, well, we need to make sure that you have an ability to pay. This is the number one thing is they grind away and they start to die. I've heard phone calls where the front desk person is diagnosing. They're like running through. Well, tell me, you know, well, I actually have a recording of it because it blows my mind so much. My favorite one, this receptionist says, well, it sounds like your wife may need a crown or a filling. And that could be as much as $1,400 for a crown. So I want to tell you ahead of time because I don't want you to be shocked at the cost. The guy never asked about the money. And she's rolling out. I don't want, and she says 4 times in the conversation, I don't want you to be shocked at how much this dentistry costs. Because apparently in her mind, dentistry costs too much. Mm. You know, so she's transmitting it and she's like, I dare you to jump over this wall. Go ahead. I've got barbed wire at the top just in case you think you can climb. And sometimes the dentist is the one who said, find out if they've got money before they come in. Now, Nobody's got money reserved for dentistry. Nobody has a secret bank account. They don't have a 529, you know, investment account for dentistry or whatever, like they do for a college fund. It's like a car accident or a speeding ticket. It's all unexpected spending. It's like, hey, you need a new transmission. Okay, you gotta, I haven't sequestered a bunch of money for that. It's the same thing. So no, for dentistry, they got no money. Mm-hmm. For, you know, U2 tickets or Taylor Swift, they might find some money, but that's not how they're approaching it. So overscreening is a lot about the money and a lot about if you talk enough, you'll find a reason why they don't want to come in. Mm. Oh yeah, I didn't realize that or I didn't realize that. It's like, no, come in, we'll sort you out in the office, okay? Because the worst thing that can happen is you don't take their insurance or they decide that they can't afford you for whatever reason. But what you've done, if you've got an amazing practice that they walk into from the reception environment to the people that they meet to the tour that you give them, they leave there going, I wish I could afford this practice. And then they go somewhere else and they get a really average experience and they go, I don't want this.
Right.
I want that practice. And as soon as I get some money, I'm going to that practice. So, hey, you're putting seeds out there. I know practices that have people recommending them that are not their patients.
Wow.
Because they've treated them so well. Look, I understand you probably can't afford this practice or we're not going to be able to treat you or we don't want to take your insurance. But I really love you to see our practice because I think you should know what we're capable of. And I think you'd really love this practice. And someday you may want to come here. But we're not going to charge you anything. So come on in, meet the dentist. She's happy to take a look in your mouth and maybe tell you some basic things. We may be able to do a quick exam. And if we have time, maybe we'll do some x-rays or something like that. And you can even take the x-rays with you. Think about that. You start to say stuff like that. And they go, well, now I want to go to this place. I want to come in. If all roads lead to come on in, then you know what to say.
Right. Absolutely.
But if it's all roads are making sure you're the right, you know, you fit in this little slot right here. You're going to miss what we call in our business, on our side, the whales. The patient who hasn't taken care of his teeth in 15 years, and he finally finds a dental practice that he goes, wow, this place is great. I trust the dentist, you know, and the technology seems so updated. And I took a good look at my teeth, and they're a mess.
Yeah.
And I got to fix them. And they spend $15,000 in the next 3 months.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is so good. Now, I want you to go back to this, okay? Because it's true. If you're a great dentist or a young dentist that wants to be great, you love those whales. You love where it's fairly comprehensive, but whales are in oceans. that have lots of fish. Sometimes dentists overscreen and they stay in the same little pond forever and they're looking for the whale and it never happens. Now, you also touched on this. This is very controversial, but we're watching people. I saw this a couple of years ago where people getting, because you believe this, if you can get them in my office, they're going to stay. And people are lowering the guard. And even if they don't participate with a particular insurance, they're getting them into the office just to meet them. And then they're writing off the appointment or not charging for the appointment. Do you see that a lot? Is that a super trend in dentistry or is it a huge opportunity? How do you see that?
I see it as a trend. I see smart practices doing it because they find they can't get people to go out of network right away. When they call 1-800-DENTIST now, they want a dentist who takes their insurance. Okay. Right. That's if, you know, that's only 40 or 50% of the population, but it's about 80% of the population that is going to the dentist. The whole segment of the population that's not going because they can't even consider paying for dentistry, right? They have no coverage and no money. Okay. They're living on $45,000 a year with two kids. And so the kids are going to the dentist. That's where they're at. But the idea is to get somebody in the office so that you can have the discussion about dental insurance is not health insurance. It's a discount plan on basic care. Mm-hmm. And it's got nothing to do with diagnosis. It actually shuts off. It doesn't care about the diagnosis at all. Whereas healthcare, all it cares about is the diagnosis and how much it's going to cost to fix you.
Right.
Dentistry, it doesn't matter how much it costs to fix you. You're getting $3,000 this year. That's all you get. So if you can have that discussion and you can create that desire to be in that practice so that they go to the other place, find out, oh, the $5,000 worth of work and $2,200 of it's paid for or $600 is paid for by insurance. They go, well, why the heck am I going here? Why don't I just go to that fantastic practice? Right. Here's the other thing, and it's really important. More and more practices are realizing that they have to accept plans.
Okay.
86% of practices now accept at least one plan. Okay. 15 years ago, everybody was trying to go full fee for service.
Right.
But corporate dentistry, which is approximately 20% of practices now, they accept a lot of plans. So that's the competition you're facing as a solo practitioner or a small practice or an individual practice or an independent practice. So what are you going to do when that patient comes in and says, I have this insurance? You're going to start to aggregate that information and say, look, that looked like a really good patient, but I'm not taking Cigna and they have Cigna. And this is the fourth time this has happened this month.
Right.
I'm missing good patients. Maybe I need to look at, you know, and you say what plans to take. You don't want to take every plan, but you may be missing something because what's going to happen with that patient? You're going to come in, you're going to do the basic care, and then you're going to find out what the heck they need. The average person is walking around with $5,000 of dental neglect out there. And, you know, they're not dying from it, but they're degenerating. Their teeth are degrading on a steady basis because they're not doing anything about the decay and the deterioration of fillings and all of that stuff.
Right.
And the gum recession. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on by casual neglect. Okay. Right. Not don't floss, don't brush, you know, chew tobacco neglect, but just regular.
Right.
And so the opportunity is to say, I can start accepting this plan because this plan is going to produce production beyond the plan.
Right.
So it always boils down to get them in.
Right. So get them in. And that is usually one of the biggest obstacles we find it in all of our work is just we got to get them in and therefore create a little bit or a lot of value just in those first couple of appointments or first couple of minutes that they just say, look, I want to be here for a long time. So that's huge. That's a huge mistake. What's mistake number two that you see?
How fast you get them in, okay? When you're doing something that's advertising, okay, you've created an impulse response. The late Carrie Fisher, who I found just a hilarious and incredibly insightful person, said many years ago, instant gratification is too slow, okay? Uh-huh. And that's the world we live in. I mean, I can get a song like this. I can get a book like this. I don't even have to do this anymore. I can just say to my Echo, get me more Dial soap. And it's here in 2 days. I mean, instant gratification is all around us, except at the dental office where they can get us in 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, I'm trying to get in now. So the dentists who succeed, particularly with if it's an advertising patient. With a word of mouth patient, you got a little more room because it's come from the brother of a patient or a coworker. Right. I don't want the impulse to take care of their teeth to go away. Now, it could be a physical impulse or an emotional impulse. They could go like, oh my gosh, it's been 4 years since I've seen a dentist. I got to get in.
Right.
And then they find a dentist. The dentist schedules them for 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out. Life takes over. Life gets interesting. Dentistry never gets interesting. And so they, I'm not coming. Or they don't even call. So here you are with this fabulous hole in your schedule waiting for this patient who's not coming.
Right.
So what we have found from sending over 8 million people to practices at this point is that there's a 48-hour half-life on an advertising patient.
Okay.
You want to get them in.
Yeah, describe that because that's awesome. 48-hour half-life. What does that mean?
That means as soon as 48 hours go by, meeting you and trying to make an appointment and them actually physically being in the office means their chance of them showing up constantly diminishes to nothing after 48 hours. I have a good friend in Chicago, runs a practice on the south side of Chicago. Not an elegant neighborhood, not a fabulous demographic, but he does a terrific job in the practice and he has a phenomenal 7-figure revenue from the practice there. And he joined 800 Dentists several years ago. And what he found out was that on Friday night, he was getting some emergency calls and he would schedule them for Saturday and they wouldn't show up because it was an emergency. And so he said, well, the heck with this. I'm going to start opening at 1 o'clock on Fridays and stay open till 8:30. Boom. They all showed up. He said, I would eventually have to lock the door because at 9:30, they're like knocking, like trying to come in. And he said, I found the immediacy was the game. They wanted somebody now. They were either going to go find somebody else. They may have even made an appointment with him on Saturday. So he shows up on Saturday. They already found another dentist Friday night who would take care of them. But he said, most of the people around me don't want to take these patients. They think emergencies are terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay. They went to dental school to never do another emergency. That's their dream, right? Which is, he said, no, this is the opportunity. I'm going to give them a great experience of dentistry and they're going to become a loyal patient. And over the next 20 years, this is what he says, which blows my mind because this is way beyond my normal statistic. He says, every patient I get from you that I get in here, I'm going to turn into 20 patients before I'm done.
Right.
Word of mouth. He believes he gets 20. Now, I would say 5 if I were talking to the average dentist. Like if a good patient from advertising is going to get you 5 patients over the next 3 years because you're tapping into a whole new group of people. You're tapping into what we call a new referral tree of friends, family, and coworkers because nobody in the office knows them. Mm-hmm. They're bringing you to a new group of people.
Yeah.
So that's why you get them in and why you get them in fast.
Right. Now, what you're saying, I just want to clarify too, because some dentists will listen to this and they only hear what they want to hear sometimes. And they're saying, well, Fred said I got to be open on Friday nights. That's not what you're saying. It's between phone call. And when they get to your office, there's a 48-hour half shelf life in this whole process and what you want to do. And I've seen this firsthand, what you're talking about, Fred, because you're a data guy. You love looking at all this data. We have a lot of practices. When a phone call comes in, they can get them in that day, the next day, or even 2 days later, and it's just to meet the patient. It's not that they have to do definitive treatment. They're just going to give them a tour, and they create a lot of value that if the patient's got a lot going on, they can come back. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay.
You want to have more convenient hours, but mostly it's about get them in. And this is my real point about it. I believe any dentist can see a new patient tomorrow.
Okay,
I don't care how full the schedule is. You don't have to treat them. You just have to get them in. I mean, if they really have a need, you're going to find a way to work through lunch or say, come back at 5 and I'm going to make my assistant stay and we're going to take care of you. Or I'm going to give you some antibiotics and you need to take these for 2 days before I can do anything or 5 days. But come in, see the office tomorrow. Come between 1 and 1:15 and work them in.
Right.
There's so many of these dentists are slave to their 10-minute, it's like Dentrix tells them what to do. It's like, no, actually you control that and you can work people in. The other big mistake is they go, well, new patients, I always schedule for 2 hours. Well, there's a suicide mission. Now you've got a no-show. You've taken your hygienist. Now you're going to pay her and you've got an empty operatory now that you can do nothing with. Okay. Mm-hmm. If it's a word of mouth patient, you know, is coming, which you never know. If they're really coming, don't schedule 2 hours. schedule maybe an hour, but I schedule with a new patient, I schedule a fictitious half hour in the schedule that they're coming in. How much time does the dentist really need to spend with them? You take some radiographs, you give them a tour of the office. So far, no dentist. Okay. Yeah. Are you ready to do a cleaning? Well, maybe let's see if we can do a cleaning. You can knock off a quick prophy in 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the dentist comes in and glances at the radiographs and glances at the patient and looks around and says, are you in any discomfort? Well, no, I'm just really concerned about this mole is really sharp and it's sort of cutting my tongue a little bit. It's like, you know what? I'm going to take the edge off of that right now. But here's a couple of things I think you should think about. And I'd like you to come back next week and we're going to start to take care of those. I'll tell you about them now, but we can go in depth later.
Yeah.
Unless you'd really like to hear about comprehensive, you know, what would it take to get your mouth to its ideal level?
Yeah. So
I want to know that. Guess what? You're open till 8 that night. You know, it's like a good friend of mine says, am I open Sunday? He says, you need $25,000 worth of cosmetic dentistry? I'm open on Easter Sunday. Okay. You know, I'm open, you know, and that's the reality. It's like, why wouldn't you do that? Pay your assistant double time and come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the important point is too, you said this, you can make your own rules. You don't have to subscribe to anybody else's rules.
I didn't mean to pick on Dentrix. I mean, it's like the Eaglesoft. Anybody, you know, it's like, you're not a slave to your practice management system.
Right.
You know, it's the opposite. It's a tool for you.
Yeah. And you're in big business. So you understand the whole concept. And you originally taught me this lifetime value. So because what you're doing here is, and you can see the subplot is, you're giving people the opportunity to experience your practice just in a personal, relational way. And over time, what you're doing is you're building more patients that'll stay long-term. And I think dentists don't get this. There's a lifetime value to a patient. Now, can you talk about that? Because the more patients that you add, ultimately, over how many years, they exponentially add value. So can you talk to that?
And that's really point 3 and 4 that they're missing in marketing. And the first one is building trust with that patient. Okay. Right. That takes time. And I talk about this in Becoming Remarkable in detail, is that there's two factors that will determine the success of a practice: their perception of your trustworthiness and their perception of the value of dentistry. So these are two marketing mistakes. They think they need to get to present to the patient before they've built trust with the patient. Trust is not something that is a fact about somebody. It's based on your impression of them. It's a perception you have of someone. And one of the great ways to violate trust early on in a relationship with a patient is to get to the money before you understand what they need, what they want, what matters to them, what they can handle.
Right.
Okay. If this person hasn't been to the dentist in 5 years and they don't think they have any problem, you really can't roll out the $7,500 worth of work that they need right now because they think you want a vacation home and you're looking for the down on and you're trying to aggregate that from the next 5 patients. You violated the trust because the other point, you didn't find out who they were and what they wanted. Because some people could care less about how their smile looks. They care how it chews. Okay. Right. And how do you know that without having that conversation first? And so simple things, communication builds trust, behavior builds trust, environment builds trust. They trust you more because the colors are better in the office. Okay. They trust you better because everybody smiles. It's all subconscious and often irrational.
Right.
But there are ways of violating it that, you know, you got a long, once trust is violated, you got a long road to go to build it back. Whereas you can build it layer by layer, moment by moment, experience by experience, sentence by sentence. All I care about is what you need to take care of today. If all you need to take care of is like you're in pain and we need to fix that, that's all we're going to talk about. You have other issues in your mouth to get yourself to an ideal level. If that's not important to you, we won't even talk about it till your next visit.
Right.
I'll bring it up again because it's my professional responsibility to tell you what you need to do to be healthy, but you're not going to die, okay, if I don't do this. You say something like that, they go, oh, okay.
Right.
And you say, look, when you say, I don't need to do this now, that you do, you should, you're not going to die either. You should do it, but I don't need you to do it.
Right.
You know, Howard's fabulous for that. You know, his fabulous story about the patient who said, well, he was going to charge the guy $6,000. And he goes, oh, I see that big house you have up on the hill in Phoenix. You know, he says, is this the mortgage payment on that house? Is that what you're looking for? And Howard goes, there's no mortgage on that house. He says, I've had patients like you for 20 years. That house was paid for a long time ago.
That's
so it's just like, forget, it's not about, I don't need your money. You have to have that in your mindset. That's how you build trust. I don't need your money. I need to take care of you at the level you're ready for.
Yeah.
Now, step two, what is their value? The other marketing step, the other marketing mistake, understanding how they value dentistry in their life.
Right. So talk to us about that, because if that's a new concept, if you're a young dentist getting started, that might not be something you've got your brain wrapped around, but where would I start?
It's a series of questions. It's basically on your intake form. How do you feel about your smile? If they come in with this ragged, jagged, yellow smile and they go, it's a 9. I feel like I have a 9 smile. It's like, okay, then we're not going to sell you any cosmetics, I don't think. And then, right. So what you need is you want to make sure there's no decay and that your soft tissue is preserved. That's what we're going to deal with, because that's how they value it. Now, goes back to the long-term patient concept. You're going to build value over years in their mind,
right,
more often than minutes. You're not going to be able to do it in the first conversation. You got to find out where they value dentistry versus other stuff in their life, and then raise it gradually. Number one thing as a young dentist and as an old dentist and as a dental team is to keep in mind is that if somebody needs $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 worth of dentistry, there's almost no better way for them to spend that money.
Right.
There is no better investment than dentistry if you need it long term.
Yeah.
Because it affects every meal, every kiss, every conversation, every smile, your overall health. It's all there. Chrome wheels on your car going to give you that? I don't think so.
Nope.
But they'll spend 5 G's on the chrome wheels like nothing.
Right.
Because it's fun. It's glitzy. It's not glamorous. It's maintenance, but it's important maintenance. And occasionally it's beyond maintenance to a confidence building, self-esteem building thing. You straighten a smile, you get them to smile more. Hey, smile more. People appreciate them more. And guess what? You smile more, your chemicals in your body, your dopamine is running on high because you smile more. It's like, smile more to be happy. Don't smile because you're happy. I mean, it's like scientifically proven. So we get them to smile more because we make them look better. They're just a plain happier person. We've affected their hormone level in a way that they weren't even expecting. So everybody has to understand and believe that dentistry is the best investment they can make.
Yeah.
Not, oh, geez, it's an expense and I'm sorry. I don't want you to be shocked at the cost of it. Okay.
Right.
That's the opposite mindset. And when you have the confidence, one, that dentistry is a great investment and one of the best investments they can make, especially if they're in a condition that they need it, and that you have the capability of delivering it, the acceptance goes up and up and up.
Right. Because
the trust is there and suddenly the value is being built more and more. Your confidence builds the value of dentistry.
Right.
And the confidence of the team. Your team is your best marketing tool because they're creating the whole experience. They're reinforcing the dentistry that the dentist is recommending. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not.
Yeah. But I'm going to piggyback
on
that. Yeah. You say this all in the first book and I love it. You know, one of your best marketing investments, period, is investing in all these people that you see around you, like really invest in them because they're going to do a better job of marketing than you will. And that's all the touch points. The other thing you said in the book, and I use your quote all the time, it's the mindset. And I'm just going to keep hammering this drum because I absolutely believe what you said is true, Fred. You have to believe that money spent in your office is some of the best money people could ever spend. And here's why. Because if you don't believe that, it sets up all the other things that you don't want. And what happens over time is you start to undervalue what you do. And I've heard this said so many times. When you undervalue what you do, just people undervalue who you are. You're just a plain old dentist. And then you wake up 15 years later and you go, no one wants to pay for dentistry. Everything's too expensive. Insurance is... No, that's not the problem. The problem is it started here and it became an infection that ultimately became a very bad disease and it spread throughout the whole organization. So I think that's huge. When you value the thing things that you do in your office, because there are people that change lives and there are people that fix teeth. And what you're talking about is you look at dentistry in a very valuable way that you can communicate it in a valuable way.
And I would sit down with the team. The first thing I would do if I was sitting down with any team on a consultant level, let's say, is I would say, do you consider dentistry one of the best investments people can make? And if you don't, tell me why. Our practice, you know, not everybody needs cosmetic work. It's like, no, that's not my question. Okay. My question is, do you think that there are way better ways to spend money than on dentistry? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that.
Right.
Because if you do, you're not telling yourself the truth, you know, because you think there's more fun stuff to spend money on dentistry too. I agree. There's tons of stuff that's more fun, just right. not more valuable. A 401k is hard to even say it's as good an investment as dentistry, because if you get to cash the money in at 61 and a half, but you're edentulous, it's not as much fun to go on the cruise ships with your 401k money, because they're serving food round the clock and you're gumming it.
Right.
So just understand that you're only transmitting the truth to people, that this is more valuable than you think. That's the beauty of dentistry, is they undervalue it so much that if we get good at creating a trustworthy interaction and gradually build that patient's perception of value right. and do that with the core of our patient base, we're invincible. And Delta can do anything they want, and the government can create a new dental plan. It doesn't matter. You will have a core of patients who go like, I don't care what anybody says or does. I'm doing what you say.
Right.
And right. I'm paying what you need me to pay you.
Yep.
So that's such an important part of the marketing tool. And the team is the marketing tool as well as the dentist. The dentist can't do it alone. You know, I know you've talked about culture a lot, and we could do a whole show on practice culture, but it has to be everybody. Yeah. Dental practice is too small a group of people. It's too small an ecosystem to have two people pulling in one direction, one person not pulling in any direction, and two people pulling hard in the right direction. Everybody, right direction. You know, yeah. you can't have six horses pulling the stagecoach in four directions. It never gets to Yuma. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like anybody gets Western references anymore. But that's it. And it's like, you know, I have 250 employees. I can have a couple people not pulling their weight. Okay. They're not right. taking down the mothership. Not true in a dental practice. Every single person has to believe that dentistry is a great investment and communicate that, communicate the value of it, and know that that patient is accepting treatment because of the experience of the practice and the interaction with the people, not the clinical delivery of that dentistry.
Right. And that is a huge reason why marketing fails. And gosh, these are incredibly important points that have to be in place for everything to work. Now, what's number five?
Number five is to understand that your reputation is created in the world of marketing, whether you like it or not. Okay. So you've got online reviews, you've got websites, you've got social media that are creating an impression of the experience of being a patient of yours. Mm-hmm. You can ignore it and it will be created for you. And I guarantee you, it will tilt way more to the negative.
Right.
Okay. Or worse, there's a vacuum of information. There's a dearth of reviews and social media, Facebook primarily, interaction where people can go, oh, this is what it's like to be a patient in that practice. Because that's what people, they can determine it with their phone.
Right.
Incredibly easily now, they can find out what it's like to be a patient of yours. And when they call 1-800-DENTIST now, when we refer a dentist, they'll look them up on Yelp while we're talking to them. We can see the Yelp reviews too. So we know, and a lot of times we have to say, you know, click on the filtered button so you can see actually the positive reviews of this practice. But they have this resource, which is why the second book is called Becoming Remarkable, is because you need to be figuratively remarkable. In other words, you need to create a wonderful patient experience, but you need to create a literally remarkable experience, one that they can't resist remarking about with their thumbs now, because word of mouth is word of thumb. And mm-hmm. it's likable, and it's shareable, and it's searchable, and the big one, it's undeletable. It lives forever.
Oh, that is good. Word of mouth is word of thumb, and it's undeletable. Buddy, I got some good quotes here. This is awesome. Keep going, because this is critically important.
And so you have to have a systematic approach to generating this online reputation of yours. You have to be active in Facebook, giving the experience of being a patient of yours. You have to be active and monitoring your online reviews and asking your patients to review you and having them do it either on Google or on Yelp. Both of them carry a tremendous amount of weight. And know that this is shifting to a point now where people will look, if they search and they see your name come up in a Google search, they see your practice come up. And we put a lot of our members up in that will come up high in a Google search as part of our program. Underneath your name is your average star rating and how many reviews. Sometimes that's all people look at. They go, four and a half stars and two reviews. I know who those two people are. Forget that. Four and a half stars, 270 reviews. Okay, click. I want to look at that. So you need a steady stream of reviews. Now, they may pop them open. They're not reading 270 reviews. And they're not reading two because they don't believe either of them were written by anybody except immediate family.
Right.
So they may open them. They're going to read the first three or four. They're going to read three or four positive ones. Then they're going to look for a negative one. And then they read the negative one and they say, this person sounds like a crackpot.
Yeah,
most of the time. And so negatives doesn't hurt you as long as you have an imbalanced ratio, a 7-to-1 ratio of positive to negative.
Okay.
And so you have to be active in generating that because people will actively generate negative reviews. They're much more comfortable walking out of your practice going, that was this office at front desk was so mean. You know, it's like all she was trying to do was get money from me and like and wouldn't finance me, wouldn't mention any of, you know, like all of that. They go on and on about it. So you need a systematic approach to monitoring, generating, and responding to reviews. And you need a systematic approach to generating Facebook content. And that needs to be somebody's job. I believe that I call them the Facebook geek. Okay. I say, you need a Facebook geek in your office. You already know who she is. She's on Facebook right now during the morning huddle, you know? And so you say part of your job every day is to do this, okay, is to grab a patient and say, we'd love it if you did a little video testimonial for the practice. Mm-hmm. Or, geez, it would be great if you went on your Facebook and talked about the practice and we're going to share it. Make sure you like our office because we're going to share it.
Right.
And now we're talking about there's all these intricacies of Facebook, right, is if you post something on your Facebook page, it goes to 12% of your followers.
Okay.
If you share content from somebody else, it goes to 26% of your followers. Because Facebook doesn't show everything to everybody. They filter it all over the place.
Right.
And here's the other crazy thing now. We're doing a Facebook Live right now. If you do a Facebook Live with a patient, then it goes to 50% of your followers.
Wow.
Now Facebook is favoring it. It's just they decide to favor it. They control it's little levers that they're controlling behind the scenes. You know, Zuckerberg is the wizard. And so that makes a difference into who it goes out to. And of course, the video stays on. People love to watch videos. That's the reality. Video is your most powerful marketing tool about the experience of being a patient of yours. Because you can put a video anywhere. You can put it on YouTube, on Facebook, on your website. You can embed it into your Yelp and Google profiles. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And Google just passed this amazing number where 1 billion hours of YouTube videos are being watched a day. Wow. 1 billion hours a day of YouTube videos. And that's worldwide. But where the heck did that time come from?
Right.
Other places. Work, mostly. But I mean, this is the impact that you can have. And this is what you need to take advantage of. And when you're with a patient, now I have some rules about getting patients to do it. I love to do a little live video with a patient. And remember, there's HIPAA, right? So there's a basic rule. Two things are important. Always get a release from a patient if you're going to use any of their imagery or anything about them. The video or, you know, you should have a built-in release as part of the patient profile. And there's actually some software programs that actually they can sign a release right there on the phone as they do a Facebook video. But I have a little poem that I remember is, if you show the face, don't talk about the case. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you show a picture, this is our favorite patient of the week. Don't go into, you know, we did a root canal on number 8, you know, while you're showing, because now you're violating HIPAA. Now, Conversely, patient can't violate their own HIPAA. Mm-hmm. So you do a Facebook Live and they can talk all day long about Dr. Jackson. He, you know, I came in here with all these messed up crooked teeth and he's, you know, we did Invisalign and we did this and we did that. And that, you know, now I love my teeth and I'm so confident and I'm so happy. They can babble about all the case all day long. You know, the law is they can't violate their own HIPAA. And let's face it, most dental practices are just, and most medical practices are just one long HIPAA violation.
Right.
I mean, I recently had surgery. I couldn't believe how many other people's cases I was listening to in the course of my treatment.
It's mind-blowing.
I mean, it was just, it's like impossible to, you know, protect patient information. But, you know, obviously it's important to try and to not like suddenly let it get released into the wild. And we certainly don't want any of our listeners to be fined for any of this stuff. So if you show the face, don't talk about the case. Let them talk. Use a medium that they're posting themselves that you can share.
I love that. I love that. And you have another rule. Is there another rule that you use for Facebook Live or for interviewing a patient with video? Or do we cover both of them? Because you said get the release, you know, get the release, and then also
get the release and make sure that if you're doing it, you're not going to talk about the case. If they're doing it, if they're posting it on their Facebook page with their phone, they can talk about it all day long. I lean towards that because of what I said before, is your ability to share that on your page doubles the viewership. Okay. And the final thing on Facebook, which is really important, and people worry about it, they say, what's too much? There is no such thing as too much posting on Facebook. There's only not enough. Because it's not like spam, okay? It's not like you email them 3 times a day or something like that. It's showing up on your wall and it's just scrolling down. And it's showing up on their wall if they're a follower, and it's disappearing. So you could do it every day. You could do it twice a day. It's not too much. You can't overdose them in that medium, which is fabulous. And it's a weekday thing. You don't have to do stuff on the weekends, okay, in a dental practice. But, and the number one rule is, this is about the experience of being a patient of yours, not about the clinical delivery of dentistry. That's not what Facebook is for.
Right.
You could do that on your YouTube channel, but you sure can't do it on Facebook.
Yeah, that's a big deal because a lot of people are posting cases now more than ever and what they do. But you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to go to your office.
No,
but you love the heartwarming
story. Remember, it's not like that. I'm trying not to have that in my mind as I go to the dentist. That's a repellent.
Right.
Okay, to remind them what's going on. And it, just like if I have, you know, my gallbladder taken out, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to watch a live feed of it while it's happening, you know?
Right.
And I'm not going to go online and watch a bunch of videos about it. So I'm terrified of the whole thing.
Right.
So, no, it's like, wow, look at what they did for Halloween. These people are really fun. I mean, that's it. And create a fun practice. There's nothing wrong with a fun dental practice. There's everything right about it. Because you got to go there every day.
Yes, you do.
For the next 40 years.
Yeah.
When I make it fun and it'll reverberate through your patient base.
Right. And I would piggyback on that, Fred, too, because it's true. You know, the important thing about owning a dental practice today is you write the narrative. This is your book. You write the story. And human beings love stories. You look at, like, even The Voice or American Idol. Like, we were watching Voice as a family. And it's one of those things I can't stop watching because it's not so much the performance. It's like this little kid, his house burned down the other night. And I'm like, I want the kid to, you know, and you see these women come in with no shoes. This little girl comes in with no shoes. And you're like, sing, good little girl. And you're so intrigued by the story. Because if you didn't know the story, you wouldn't care as much. And your ability to tell a great story as a dental team is, this is a really special place. We have people come here that aren't perfect patients. They don't always have a lot of money, but they care about themselves. They care, you know, they have a great story. And the more you can learn and tell other people's story, the more successful you're going to be in any business, specifically dentistry.
Yeah. So, and when you build the value in their mind and you build the trustworthiness between you and the patient, between the team and the patient, when you build those two things, surprisingly, they often find the money. They don't find it right away. But, you know, a good friend of mine, he will always present comprehensive care to the patient if they'll listen. Mm-hmm. He'll never prejudge them because that's, you know, and that's rule number 6, never prejudge these people.
Yeah.
Don't prejudge them on the phone. Don't prejudge them in the office. you don't know what happens when they raise the value of dentistry in their mind to the level it should be. Okay. Most people value dentistry here and a bunch of stuff up here, and it should be this way. Health in general should be way up at the top. And dentistry is one of those things. When you help them to do that, suddenly when the money comes at them from somewhere, or they just go to their parents or they go to somebody, hey, they go to their boss and say, look, I need a $5,000 bonus because I want to take care of my teeth. And that's what I'm going to spend it on. And I'm going to be smiling at all the customers. So I think you should help me invest in it. I mean, they will go out and find the money.
They will.
Not all of them. You don't need all of them to do it. Right. One more rule. You don't need everybody in town to love you. You need 1,000 great patients. You need 300 of them to be your apostles out there on the street, bragging about your practice, telling them how remarkable you are.
Amen, brother.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. And I know, I haven't read it, but I know it's going to be a fantastic book and I'm going to read it too. So I want people to read your book. How can they find your book? And you have a code for them. Okay. So this is your new book.
This book right here. The best place to buy the hardcover is on my blog, goaskfred.com. And there's a buy the book tab. And when you go and put in the discount code, Fred Joyle, my name, all caps, no space, and the book will be $10 shipped, okay? If you go to Amazon, it's $25. It takes like 3 weeks to show up. And if you're not Prime, you pay for shipping too. Now, it is available on Audible. Okay. Both the books are available on Audible, and you know, and that's like $10. And a lot of people don't, when they say they read, that means they listen. And so it's available that way. And it's me reading it. So, you know, it's like I'm driving around in the car with you all day long. You know, a lot of practices kind of do both. A lot of practices get four or five of the books and they make the team read them and they go chapter by chapter. They do it with everything in marketing. And a lot of people get very excited about everything is marketing because they go, we do that already. We do that. So it's like they get encouragement and then they go, oh, but we could do that. Because a lot of it is we know, but we need reminding. And we need to know why it works. And that's a lot of what both books are about. Is here's not just what to do. This is why. This is how people think. And this is what the data is telling us they respond to. Because, you know, we talk to people all day long about who are looking for a dentist. And we find out who goes and who spends and all of that stuff. And what successful dental practices do to turn potential patients into real patients. And that's a lot of what I put into both books.
That's awesome. So
that's the bullet on. And Go Ask Fred is, you know, it's my blog and it's got over 100 articles on all sorts of stuff that sometimes it's just good business thinking. Sometimes it's about social media or websites or, you know, nuts and bolts stuff. So it's all, you know, go there and check them out.
Yeah, it's awesome. Then you also have a website called Future Dontics where you guys, you help a lot of practices with the marketing aspect. So check that out too.
Future Dontics, like orthodontics, just futuredontics.com. That's the business website where you can find out about 800 dentists and Patient Activator, the two products that we have, and how we can maybe help you grow your practice. But do this stuff first and then join.
Absolutely. Well, Fred, this is awesome, buddy. You and I are going to do a lot of stuff because you're a big data guy. You understand what happens behind the scenes with all this marketing, and it's just, it's really refreshed stuff. So please get the books, read the books. Check out Fred's site. And then also, I'm just looking at the feed. Craig Spodek says, hey, Fred, love this. He's on the show tomorrow. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. So, buddy, I really, really appreciate this. And again, if you're watching this either live or later on, just like Fred said, hit the share button because we'll get like twice the engagement. Thank you for that heads up. That's huge. Yeah. I didn't know those metrics when it came to Facebook. Also, too, even if you're watching this later, add some comments to the right. I'm going to ask Fred to respond to your questions because we want to help you in any way that we can get your brain around this and see how we can make your practice better. So, Fred, thank you very much, buddy. I really appreciate this.